This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz. New Zealanders Randall and Gail Lockie of Rothesay Bay treasure their friendships from when they worked surrounded by a new culture overseas. Randall Lockie's book, adapted for broadcast on our program Historic Souvenirs, shares their memory.
The Papua New Guinea Expatriate Experience. Newsletters from Port Moresby.
Free FM 89.0 is proudly supported by New Zealand On Air. In New Guinea, there's nowhere far to go by foot or vehicle. By air's the answer. I'm taking a trip on Air New Guinea's latest Fokker aircraft, which the engineers had grounded on discovering a crack on its undercarriage. That's when the airline advises our cargo department. However, our airline leaves our department in the dark as to when the engineers later deem our aircraft fit to fly. We trust that safety is assured. Viewing the landscape unfolding far below, we see a profusion of islands, but none to offer an emergency landing trip. We are the intruders in a tropics wonderland that's home and shelter to thousands of human generations. Its luxuriant vegetation supplies the food, clothes, medicine and materials for dwellings. Austronesians bring to these islands an agricultural lifestyle, also an ability to produce their own style of pottery. They domesticate pigs, dogs, and chooks on the island of Bougainville, named after French Admiral Louis-Antoine de Bougainville, who landed there in 1768. Archaeologists claim humans inhabit the region for at least 29,000 years after carbon dating artifacts excavated in Kilu Cave on Booker Island. In the 1880s, Bougainville comes under German Empire protection. Then the British Empire claims the Solomon Islands. When it rains, which it does often, the trade winds will shred lofty clouds in the old, deeply eroded gorges of volcanic mountains. Mists might confound pilots of planes seeking safe passage as they approach to land. My trip from the office in Port Moresby, capital of Papua New Guinea, continues via Bougainville Island in the Northern Solomons. It's my first glimpse of the open-cast copper mine that appears far below as a huge clearing in the midst of thick rainforest jungle. On the approach to the town of Kita, our aircraft seems to be brushing its wingtip on the mountainside in a spectacular final descent. Aropa Airport is a coral strip runway running alongside deep blue ocean. Having a full complement of 62 passengers, the aircraft needs every inch of its fairly short runway. The terminal building is a grotty old wooden structure, no bigger than a double garage. Crammed inside, a tin pot customs and immigration office, room only for one old desk. There's no electric light bulb to illuminate the proceedings. Taxing to the end of the runway, our F-28 is ready to take off on the last leg of our 3-hour journey to Honiara, the Solomon Islands capital, enjoying a balmy breeze off the Coral Sea. As we gain altitude, I see no sign of a reef visible off the coast at Keta. On other islands, foaming surf rages on the outer reefs, preserving a calm in the lagoon. Empty, save for a season when islanders come to harvest their copra from dried kernel of the coconut palm. Bougainvillians are descendants of two populations whose separate languages are both spoken still. Bougainville's later settlers are Melanesians, likely related to Papuans, and Aboriginal Australians. In World War I, the Australian Naval and Military Expeditionary Force in 1914 occupied German New Guinea. After the war, Bougainville, among other occupied territories, is made a League of Nations mandate. During World War II, Japan invades and occupies Bougainville. The Allies suffer heavy casualties, restoring Australian control in 1945. Within a few years, Bougainville becomes part of the territory of Papua and New Guinea. Civil war breaks out in 1988. A decade later, thousands are dead in the Bougainvillians' fight for independence. As part of their peace agreement in 2001, Bougainville becomes an autonomous region within Papua New Guinea until the independence referendum of 2019. A quirk of geography splays out islands of the Solomon's Archipelago with a central channel that the Allies soon come to call in World War II, the Slot. Here is fought many naval engagements against Japan. Students of that military history will know the fate of a future United States president hangs on surviving a Japanese destroyer's ramming of a United States torpedo vessel, PT-109.
I felt my heart had never beat before. It gave my life some meaning for the first time. Your love has opened my heart's door. You're always there to help and guide not what you can do for me that matters. Even though your love is pure and true, it's knowing that you care enough about me to reach into my heart and pull me through.
It's August 1942. The lightly armed American torpedo boat PT-109 becomes an enemy target of the much larger Japanese ship, smashing its hull. Once the American patrol boat sinks in the slot, survivors tread water. The vessel's under the command of a confident, strong swimmer, soon to be known to the world, Lieutenant JFK Kennedy. However, as fate decrees, all his men swim or float more than 3 miles to land. The slot is legend for the drama played out in its waters. The Tokyo Express, warship steaming down the slot by night on a mission to retake the island of Guadalcanal. A huge traffic in warships and aeroplanes come through the slot.
We'll color all my dreams and light the dawn. Look into my eyes, my love. Lovely things you are to me. Our wistful little star was far too high. A teardrop kissed your lips, and so did I. Kissed your lips, and so did goodbye.
On shore, the heroic broadcasts of the coast watchers must never be forgotten, relaying the enemy's movements, but doing so at high risk that the Japanese will trace transmissions. The coast watchers carry radios and batteries too bulky to easily conceal, yet must keep moving to avoid being captured. Nevertheless, many are never to make it back home. Our flight lands on an historic airstrip, Henderson's Field. Japanese built in 1942, it's among the most strategic of airfields in the Pacific War. Fortunately for all of us, American Marines overwhelm the Japanese defenders on Guadalcanal. Mendana Hotel in Honiara is where I'm staying. I open the curtains next morning to a view of palms fringing the beachfront at Point Cruz. There's more. A two-masted sailing ship, so graceful at its moorings in the middle of the bay. It harks back to the turn of the century, reminding me of favourite author Louis Beck, who sailed on such vessels, describing carefree days in the Pacific. While the Solomons are now independent, the former British colonial influence is still evident here, welcome in many ways. Strolling through several well-stocked general trade stores, I note a good supply of white pith helmets, much favoured by big game hunters. Admittedly, these helmets are now made in China. Another shop specialises in selling shells, some of which is still circulating as shell money in outer islands of the Northern Solomons. No, I decided not to exchange our New Zealand dollars for shells. How fickle is money when I find Australian beer sells for less in Honiara than its price in Australia? Conviviality comes easily and more naturally to the Guadalcanal Club, where in no time at all a stranger is on first-name terms with the old-timers. Take care, walking into the undergrowth. Untold leftover munitions, which for any reason don't get dumped in a deep watery grave at the end of the war, might be lurking under creeper, concealing lethal risk of explosions. Ordnance is so unstable as to lie hidden near Honiara in the Pacific's largest unexploded bombs and shells and other ammunition. They call it Hell's Point, only a couple of miles east of the capital. Wrecks, there are aplenty. That's why the world knows its seafloor as Iron Bottom Sound. For clients, the eight-seater vessel's glass bottom is under control of Captain Linden and the First Officer Willie, who is busy under the forward section brewing a fine pot of tea on a Primus stove. When Linden's not being a captain, he's the town signwriter and also drives a bus. His policy is to tell tourists the wreckage they spot under the vessel's glass bottom originates from whichever defence force resonates best with their own nationality. On spotting a World War II fighter aircraft clearly visible 30 feet down, many Japanese tourists pray or leave wreaths to float over the relic. Actually an American plane. I'm keen that my wife Gail should in the future have the opportunity to meet these venerable salts so as to share in the sincerity of their warmth, their friendship. For now, my business trip is achieved, so we gather at Henderson's Field for the flight home to Port Moresby. As we settle into PNG, we do miss an escape to cooler climes rather than endure unrelenting heat and humidity daily. It's getting to us a little. To be quite honest, it's almost a pleasure to be arriving at work with its air conditioning, assuming it's working. And there's no power failure, which is a fairly common experience in Port Moresby.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe, yes, I believe. I believe above a storm, the smallest prayer would still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf, I believe.
hear more of the experiences of New Zealanders Randall and Gail Lockie of Rothesay Bay, as told by Randall Lockie in his book, adapted for broadcast on our program, Historic Souvenirs.
The Papua New Guinea Expatriate Experience, newsletters from Port Moresby.
Next week at the same time, on Free FM 89.0, proudly supported by New Zealand On Air. Till then, cheerio.
Episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.